Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we are very happy to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jordan Matthews to the program. Vanderbilt legend, NFL wide receiver and tight end. Jordan, good morning. How are you?
I'm blessed, guys. How you doing?
Doing awesome, man. Great. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Jordan, let's start here. There's a really cool event coming up on Friday, the Vandy Legends Charity Softball Game at Hawkins Field. Doors are going to be opening up at 5 o'clock. There's a home run derby that's going to be a part of it. You've got the softball game itself. The proceeds are going to Eli's house. And if people out there are looking for tickets, you can find them on matthewsmission.com. But tell us a little bit about the game itself, what the cause is, and what we're doing this weekend out at Hawkins Field.
Yeah, man, we're really excited about this one. So the game, basically, the format is Vandy Legends. So I've got a lot of my, you know, some friends that I played with and guys that really made an impact, guys and girls. I got, you know, Trent Sherfield coming back. He's an eight-year vet with the Denver Broncos. Oren Burks, who just won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. My guy Tony Kemp is partnering with me on this. You know, Tony just retired from the MLB, 9 seasons, played with the Oakland A's, won a World Series with the Houston Astros, SEC Player of the Year, SEC Freshman of the Year, one of the best baseball players in Vanderbilt's baseball history. He's coming out. Michaela Blakes, I don't know if y'all know about this girl, man.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal. She's, I mean, literally, I think she's top three basketball players in the country. You know, you got Juju Watkins coming back, but Michaela, I think she's going to be a household name soon in women's basketball.
Yep.
And Mr. Vanderbilt himself, Diego Pavia, is coming out. So I got Vandy Legends coming out, and then I've got my celebrity friends from the city, some people that I've met over the years and built relationships with. They're going to be represented by the Nashville Stars, that group that's trying to work on bringing a Major League Baseball team to Nashville. So I got Vandy Legends versus the Nashville Stars at Hawkins Field, the baseball mecca in Nashville, to raise money for an amazing cause for Eli's House. And I can talk a little bit more about Eli's House next.
Yeah, we definitely want to get that information. I did want to ask you quickly, Jordan, about you mentioned Pavia. I have to get your thoughts on, one, just him as a player, what he did for the program last year, what beating Alabama does for the program. But also, recently he's on with Taylor Lewan on his podcast, and, you know, talking a little smack to Tennessee, too. Yeah. What did you think about that, and just what do you think the impact of Diego has been?
Well, he doesn't lack confidence, that's for sure, right? And the thing about Diego, though, is it's real. You know what I'm saying? I tell guys all the time, before a game, everybody's jumping up, everybody's talking smack. And I would just sometimes, before games, whether it was college or pro, I would just sit back and watch. Because I'm like, a lot of this juice is fake. Some of this juice don't got pulp in it. You know what I mean? Like, some of these guys ain't real. And it always shows, Mike Tyson's always say, everybody got a plan until they get hit. So I always could kind of differentiate whether somebody was going to, like, show up, be who they said they were, or if they were going to revert back to just kind of being a guy. And Diego is, like, he's got the it, man. He's a straight-up dog. I remember watching the Virginia Tech game. I was telling somebody this. We came to that game last year. The first drive, I'm looking around like, does anybody see what I see right now? Like, okay, maybe I'm crazy. The second drive, he's still putting the team on his back. I'm like, I think we got something here. By halftime, I think I would have let Diego Pavia babysit my children. That's how much I trusted this dude, man. He just had it, and he didn't stop. And so it's hard in football to find guys that are not just a flash in the pan, but that can have sustained success, right? And Diego put it on tape the entire year. So when he goes out and says something like that on Bussin' with the Boys, plus I know Will and Taylor, I know they're gassing him, but if he goes and says something like that, to me that's not talking smack. That's a regular Tuesday conversation for Diego Pavia. So I'm excited for him. I know it's going to raise the level of pressure on the organization, but when Vanderbilt is being talked about, that's good for Vanderbilt. That is great for Vanderbilt. So I'm happy about it.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, it's interesting because as you're watching all this go on, you've got obviously your own playing career that you're focused on and that you're worried about, but you're watching Vanderbilt do what they did last year. There's all this NIL conversation, not only around them, but in college football in general. What do you make of kind of where college football is right now and how Vanderbilt fits into that landscape?
You know, when the NIL thing first came about, we had an NIL meeting with a few alumni, and I actually said, I think this is the best thing for Vanderbilt football, because now you can somewhat even the playing field, because now it's all based on how much do you monetarily want to invest into the program. So at that point, it does, because when it comes to recruiting, you can go out and you can try and go get a bunch of guys, but at the same time, only so many players meet the requirements to be at Vanderbilt. I was telling somebody in athletics, if you really think about it, if you want to go look up the top five players at each position that meet the grade point averages and scores that you need to get into Vanderbilt, you can go find the top five people that fit those requirements that play that position and just say, what's your price? We want to get you to Vanderbilt. There's all this relationship, all this swaying stuff, that stuff matters. But now that it's down to a dollar amount, I think it does make it a little bit easier for Vanderbilt to compete, because now you can say, well, if we're willing to, you know, fight this battle with our wallet, then we actually can cover some ground, as opposed to when it was a facilities arms race. You know how long it is to put facilities together to compete with Alabama, or they've had some of those things around for 10, 20, 30 years. You start building a facility to try and compete, it's going to take you 5 to 10 years to complete it all. Well, now it's not a facilities arms race anymore. It's all about how much are you willing to pay the players. It's going to come down to scouting. And I think in the next 5 years, it's going to look a lot more like the NFL than it ever did college football. So if you can put people together that can find talent, scout it, go out and get the right people, I think it puts us at a way better opportunity to compete. So I'm excited about where NIL is for what it's going to do for Vanderbilt.
Yeah, and like you said, you have the facilities race, and that's something where Vanderbilt was, you know, so far behind for so long. Of course, they did get, I mean, a lot of stuff has been done now on campus. I mean, it's still coming together, but pretty soon it's going to be pretty cool little phenomenal village down there, and obviously the football stadium is going to look a lot different. What about just, first of all, obviously Candace Lee and the job she's done as AD, but also Daniel Diermeier as chancellor, it seems like this is maybe the first time in a long time, or I don't know, ever, that a chancellor at Vanderbilt has been this pro sports, right?
Yeah, Chancellor Diermeier's been he's been phenomenal in that role of letting Clark and Candace know that he supports everything that they want to do with sports. And I truly believe this. When you have the right people in place, then – you don't have to worry about if we invest in them, can this go bad? Like, you know Candace's character. You know her ability to get people, you know, in the right position to do the jobs that are best suited for them. She's going to do everything in her power to make him look like the smartest chancellor out there. And then at the same time, you know, Clark, every time we talk, he's always mentioning how much he's thankful to have a boss like Candace. So when there's that much cohesiveness amongst the organization at the top, it's only going to look good at the bottom. When I was at the 49ers, people wonder how the San Francisco 49ers been kind of a contender in the NFC for this long. Well, between Kyle Shanahan, the Yorks, and John Lynch, there's a cohesiveness that's very easy to see at the top, where they're all communicating, they all have a mutual respect for each other, and then that flows throughout the rest of the organization. Vanderbilt now has that leadership at the top. I'm not saying that it didn't have that same thing when I was in school. I was blessed with great leaders at the top. You know, I can't speak highly enough about David Williams and the impact he had on me and the rest of the athletes when I was here playing. And obviously my coach, James Franklin, like, I can't brag on those guys enough. But what Vanderbilt has right now, and I think what's happening with NIL, who we have here are perfectly situated for the task at hand that's needed right now. And so I'm excited to see where they take it.
So, Jordan, what about you? I mean, you put together a great 10-year career for yourself. You're still going. You've made the transition from wide receiver to tight end. What's all that been like as you've been working through that the last couple of years, and how are we feeling about where things are headed heading into year 11?
Well, I always feel good. I always feel good. So, and it's deceiving because it says 11 kind of on paper because I had to do a year. We called it a redshirt year when I went to tight end, so it kind of didn't count.
Right.
But this will actually be my 12th year professionally. Once I get on a team going into this year, so I feel great. My body feels good. My mind is sharp. Last year with the Panthers was very good for me, especially from the standpoint of I continue to. I guess solidify myself as a tight end. But the other thing I did was I became kind of a four-core special teamer. I had a couple games that I got to go out there and also contribute on special teams. And so now I've kind of added that feather in my cap as well. I'll say that honestly, you know, I got to a point where playing the game of football, it had nothing else to do with what it did for me. Football has given me everything I need and more. Now it's more about, what does it do for the people around me? I remember when my son was like 3, I told my wife, I want to play long enough for him to know what I'm doing. And I prayed that prayer probably silently, but I know I acted on it every single day. And last year during the preseason, we played the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo on my oldest son's birthday. He turned 6. And my wife flew him up. She only brought Josiah. They went to Niagara Falls that morning, and she brought him to the game. And I scored a touchdown in that game, and I brought him the football. And he's going to remember that. That ball is sitting at the house right now. And it says, like, you know, JoJo's touchdown ball versus the Bills. So, like, those are the things that keep me going. You know, when I see my kids, I'm so motivated to show them what it looks like for a man to get up and go to work every day. And I want them to know, like, this was my passion. The thing that I do next, I'm going to take the same energy, fire, tenacity, and focus to it. But, man, this is what I always wanted to do growing up, and by the grace of God, I've been able to do it, man, pretty much my whole life. So it's a blessing for sure.
And how awesome is that?
Talking to Vanderbilt legend, NFL veteran, Jordan Matthews. Okay, yeah. So you were at tight end university then, correct? So, like,
yes,
when Taylor Swift came out on stage at Brooklyn Bowl, like, were you, like, crowd surfing? Like, what was that like?
No, I'll be honest. I did not expect to meet Taylor the way we did because we were it was actually the night before we were on the rooftop of the Thompson. And I've gotten to know Travis kind of here and there. You know, I played with his brother Jason for a while in Philly. So we probably knew each other from afar. And then we had all these little run-ins, and there's just kind of been this mutual respect. And, you know, Travis is an amazing person also, too. I think this added fame, actually for him, he wants to make sure when he meets people, they know, like, hey, I don't care about all that fame stuff. I'm a real dude. Like, he makes it a point to make people understand that he is grounded, that he's a humble guy. And so we've always been able to keep a good relationship throughout. So I went over to say something to Travis. I had my wife with me. And Taylor walked over to my wife, Shayna, and said, oh, my gosh, you look so beautiful. Like, it just started. Like, she was so nice. And the whole time I'm thinking, man, I thought I was going to have to get, like, backstage passes. And, like, thousands of dollars. And here she is right here, you know, biggest pop star in the world. So, but she was so nice. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I think I thought she might have gotten overwhelmed, but she did it in stride, man. I think her and Travis knew, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to spend some time with his community. And I think it was a good look for both of them. I think they both had fun. And the Brooklyn Bowl thing was a surprise to all of us. I actually had a chance, though, to talk to my guy Luke Combs. And I love that. I had never been to a country concert, admittedly. Sorry, my Nashville fans. But I never went to a country concert until last year. I had a friend call me and say, hey, I got an extra ticket to Luke Combs. And I'm like, who? Like, you know what I'm saying? And then he was like, bro, trust me, you're going to want to see this. We pulled up to Nissan Stadium, and there was not an empty seat in there, and he crushed it. I'm like, this is my guy now. And he was in his stage presence, everything. And so I met Luke there. He's a big Panthers fan, and we talked Panthers football for about 45 minutes, man. Great artist, even better person. But I met so many people. Jordan Davis, it was a phenomenal night, man, that George and Kelsey set up.
So, Jordan, we mentioned the Vandy Legends charity softball game coming up on Friday. Tell us a little bit more about Eli's House and what this money is going towards this weekend.
Beautiful. So, Eli's House, a residential nonprofit, and their whole goal is to help women and children thrive after trauma. Now, somebody will say, well, what does that entail? Well, basically, they have a home that's in Franklin, Tennessee, so it's kind of out where it's a little bit more quaint, a little bit more quiet, and they bring some of these families in, especially some of these single moms with kids that are close to the poverty line or at risk of losing their children to the foster care system. They bring them in, and for 2 years, they give them shelter, food, trauma relief training, job skill training. They help them with, child care so they can have time to kind of map out what life looks like moving forward once they do finally leave the house. And it's all built on helping these women leave healthier than when they came in. This is not a wheelchair type foundation. This is a crutch. We're going to help you get back on your feet. We're going to support you. We see you, we love you, and we're going to build you up. So in 2 years, you get to walk out of here healthier than you were before. And the main thing that they're doing is a lot of those families where the kid will be at risk of going to the foster care system, this work is helping keep these families together. So Jenny Rustiani, who is the CEO of Eli's House, one of her main missions was to keep kids with their biological parents. We know that there's all sorts of family situations that happen, and we're grateful that any time that a child can grow up in a home with responsible people looking after them. But the statistics are very clear. If a kid is able to grow up with at least one or both of their biological parents, their chances of living a healthier, more fulfilled life do go up. They want to make sure that that happens. And so by doing what we're doing this weekend, we're going to be pouring into families that are real. Like, this is not one of those charities where somebody's like, I don't know where my money's going. You're going to know exactly where your money's going. Jenny will be there. Her head director will be there, Natalie, with a tent set up talking to people about Eli's House mission. We're also going to have some families from Eli's House at the game. They're going to bust these women in. We're going to treat them first class and make sure they have a great time at the game. So this is a very real foundation that's helping real people. And it really spoke to my heart when my wife brought it to me. And so we're all about family with Matthew's mission. We're all about family. We want to make sure we keep some families together.
Well, again, you can check that out at matthewsmission.com. It's the Vandy Legends charity softball game coming up on Friday. The doors open up at 5 o'clock at Hawkins Field. It's going to be a great time this weekend. And if you can't make it out to the game, go to matthewsmission.com anyway. There's an opportunity there for you to make a donation to Eli's House. Jordan, we really appreciate your time. We're looking forward to this event coming up this weekend. Really great work by you, and appreciate so much you joining us today.
Hey, I appreciate you guys so much. Hey, if you guys get a chance to come out, please do. We got some food trucks, too. I know people might not like baseball, maybe, but I know they like some food. So, come on, we got pizza, we got hot dogs, we got everything you need. But like I said, all for a good cause, all for a good cause. So, everybody that can hear my voice right now, please come out. Hawkins Field, Friday, doors open at 5. It's going to be an amazing night. Going to be fun, and I can't wait to see you there.
Absolutely. Jordan, thank you, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Jordan.
Appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. Jordan Matthews, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Jordan had to say there. A lot of really good stuff from Jordan on the college football front. And again, if you're looking for tickets for Friday night, matthewsmission.com. You can find general admission tickets there, and you can make a donation to Eli's House as well. We'll come back. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trinitix's Rock the Cradle. This event's sure to be a great time, celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Appreciate Jordan Matthews for being with us in the last segment. That was really good stuff there. Really good stuff.
It was, on a variety of fronts.
It was.
Great cause. The game sounds fun on Friday. Some high level of optimism about Vanderbilt football and Vanderbilt athletics.
Yes.
Loving Diego Pavia. And got to hang out with Taylor Swift. That's kind of cool. That's, I mean, you know how that goes. Like, that's no old hat for you, but for a lot of people, it'll be like, wow, that's pretty amazing.
I mean, it's just, I'm glad Jordan finally got to join the club.
Exactly.
Good to know. And it is true. Like, I'm looking at, you know, it lists out his career, and it's 10 years. But 2022 just doesn't have anything for him because that was when he was making the transition from receiver to tight end. So he's been doing it since 2014 in the NFL. Look, I mean, if you watched him play in college, my God, was he good in college? He was really, really good at Vanderbilt. And then you're talking about, I mean, pretty immediate impact in Philadelphia. His first year, he had 67 catches for 872 yards and 8 touchdowns as a rookie in Philadelphia. Pretty darn good. He's carved out a nice career for himself.
No doubt. Absolutely. And, you know, someone on the text line says, you know, guy who can communicate like that, destined to be a good coach one day. I could see that. Or maybe, you know, broadcasting, you know, coaching.
Yeah, and he'd probably do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he'd probably do whatever he wants, exactly. But, I mean, I think in either path, usually if you have an NFL career of that duration, I mean, some guys obviously go into coaching. I could see it. But, like, Vrabel's kind of the unicorn who, you made that much money and you're gonna do the coaching grind? But some guys just love ball.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be very interesting to track him and see if, you know, if he can stick as a tight end too.
Do we think at this softball game on Friday that, you know, Diego Pavia is just gonna be like some madman out there? It's hard for me to imagine him like turning the switch off, you know?
Yeah.
The competitive juices get flowing.
He's gonna be going Ty Cobb on people on the base paths. Just
Hey Diego, ease it up over there, bud.
Head first slides outside the base pad to break up a double play.
Clark Lee comes running on the field like, oh, stop.
Yeah, really. It's like, Diego, can we, you know, just scale it back a little bit? Yeah, I mean, there's some good. So you got Clark and I think Jordan was like, yeah, if you guys don't know Mikayla Blakes, no, we know Mikayla Blakes, buddy. Mikayla Blakes said she's top three. I think that might be about right. I've said it. She's going to be a National Player of the Year.
You have
at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
So I think that's coming. I don't know if it's coming this year. But I think it's coming in the next couple of years.
It is, like, talking to Vanderbilt, and I understand, like, if you want to, you could say, well, are they ever going to say anything differently, like, if it wasn't the case? So I understand that point of view. But pretty much every person we've talked to with Vanderbilt that's even associated with Vanderbilt over the last 4 or 5 years on the NIL front is like, yeah, this is going to be really good for football. Like, the NIL part of this is going to be really good for football. And I don't think that's just lip service that they're spouting off over there.
Yeah, you know, I think Vanderbilt's just the kind of place where, I mean, if you do a good job of fundraising and of gathering your people together, you've got some clout with the Vanderbilt alumni base. Even though it's a private school, it doesn't have the huge alumni numbers that obviously the big public schools do, but you got a chance to get something done. So, no, I mean, it's a pretty exciting time over there. Like, when they get done with all of the everything going on, obviously it's so much instruction. Anybody who's been over there in the last few months, I mean, major. But when it's done, it's actually going to be really cool. And, like, you would think, and their whole thing is, like, they need to make it a place where just anyone in Nashville or people visiting Nashville, like, oh, yeah, let's go check that out. That just hasn't been the case.
Well, speaking of Vanderbilt graduates, there's one that could play a pretty important role in the future of Nashville sports if things go the way that Rex Rowe thinks they might. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tomorrow afternoon, come out to Brewhouse South in Cool Springs and meet Nashville native and two-time IndyCar champion Joseph Newgarden from 5:30 to 7. Also, Big Joe will be on site for a special broadcast of Chasing Checkers from 6 to 7. Get on out to Brewhouse South tomorrow and meet Joseph Newgarden and get signed up to win tickets to the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. And looking forward to that coming up tomorrow and Chasing Checkers from 6 to 7. Joe, we were discussing Vanderbilt graduates. One that could play an important role in the future of Nashville sports is potentially Justin Ishbia here. We talked about him a few weeks ago. And we got into some of this earlier in the show. A lot of people have thoughts on this. The idea of the Chicago White Sox one day moving to Nashville, and I guess becoming the Nashville White Sox at that point. You know, Jerry Reinsdorf has sold the team, and Justin Ishbia is taking over sometime after 2029. And then you've got the stadium situation to figure out in Chicago. If it doesn't work in Chicago, you then have a stadium situation to figure out here. if it's going to get moved. So bottom line is we're still probably a significant distance away from Major League Baseball in Nashville via this route with Chicago maybe moving here. I think based on where things are right now it's the best option to me. It's the most realistic option to me because there is a financial backer. Justin Ishbia is the billionaire that could come in and run things. And that's always been my question about the Nashville Stars group, which is, all right, well, who's the billionaire? Like, who's the owner that's coming in and potentially paying for a new stadium or paying the expansion fee or operating the day-to-day costs of becoming a Major League Baseball team? Like, you know, all these costs are going up in the world of sports. So who's that going to be? Well, Ishbia has ties to Nashville. He graduated from Vanderbilt. He's got a stake in Nashville SC. And there is a thought that maybe when time comes around and he takes over for the Chicago White Sox, that if they can't get things resolved up there, that this could be the landing spot. And you believe that this has a good chance of happening. What do you make of where things currently stand with the Chicago White Sox?
I think it's happening. I think it's going to happen. Not reporting that. I'm not basing it off just my own dreams, in which I, you know, say the word emeritus. But I think it's going to happen. Justin Ishbia, by the way, undergrad Michigan State. I think it was law school. I think he went to law school at Vanderbilt.
Yes.
But I think if you look at how it all lines up, could something happen in terms of a stadium to keep the Chicago White Sox in Chicago? Yes. So my guess that franchise is going to be here is based on my belief that that's not going to materialize. So if it does, then, you know, that changes things. But I think Nashville is more than just like the threat city. We talked earlier in the show. Jerry Reinsdorf, who owns the team now, has come to Nashville and he met with Freddie O'Connell and much was made of that. And they, you know, sort of like, well, just, you know, introductory, getting to know. But of course, but that's what happens a lot in pro sports is, you know, well, you give me this or here, they want us. This is what Bud Adams did. And they didn't give him what he wanted. And, okay, see ya. Yeah. Going to Tennessee.
I mean, the New Jersey Devils almost ended up here as before the Predators got here. Like that was – it was like, well, we will leave to Nashville if we can't get this lease figured out. And then ultimately they got the lease figured out.
And the Predators, though, was a different situation, but they almost ended up in Hamilton, Ontario.
That's true.
So, I mean, it happens all the time. Again, so my – but I believe that Nashville is more than just that. I think once the ownership transition takes place – now, again, that's – you're talking 2030s, right? So we're talking some time and a lot of things to develop, a lot of twists and turns. But right now, like if you say, okay, put your $10 down, or the Nashville or the Chicago White Sox is going to be a Nashville baseball franchise at some point, I'm going to put it on yes.
And 100%.
I'm 53. No, it does not mean I'm 100%. Santa in Portland, thank you for yes. For bringing
Joe
up
Rexler
that
guarantees.
Absolute butchering of math that Paul Kaharsky and you, right? Both of you took part in. But,
I don't remember if I took part in that or not.
Yeah, I don't know. But it was butchered. It's 53%. 53-47, Nashville White Sox. Or Nashville something if they don't want to still be called the White Sox. I'd like them to still be called the White Sox because I'd like the White Sox fans in Chicago to have to deal with that every day as they – as they shed a tear in their beer about their lost baseball
the
team.
The idea of you running around in a White Sox hat is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
If you listen to this show long enough, you know that there are a certain amount of things that just are very unlikely to ever happen. That would be on that list.
I hate them very, very deeply. But if I were to wear a White Sox hat, it would be like the one from the early 80s where they have those little robot baseball players on them.
Yeah.
That would be the one I would – the you know, like Greg Luzinski hat. Yeah.
Brian says, just think, we could potentially get an MLB team, have a new stadium built, and playing games, all while UC Soros is still under contract with the Preds.
I mean, UC Soros, coming off his fifth straight Vezina, could throw out the first pitch. There you go. He had the same idea.
Fire one off the mound in the opening game out there. I mean, at this rate, they'd probably call Shea Weber to do it. He's doing everything else.
he'd be very excited.
He actually probably would be excited about that one.
I mean, UC Saros, you know, a guy who has paraded the cup around Nashville several times, won several Vezinas, coming out to the mound, throw that first pitch.
Yep. Franchise icon Steven Stamkos out there throwing the first pitch. There a lot of things could happen between now and then.
Trying to think.
We had somebody call in earlier.
Or you could have other like Nashville legends like Andre Johnson or Randy Moss.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of different possibilities for the first pitch.
Roy called in earlier and started talking about, the idea of, 2036, it's amazing. 2036 could come around. We could finally have a baseball team and they could be playing games and they could win a championship before the Titans and Preds even sniff it. It's like, God, I hope not.
You already signed up for a decade of futility. That's really sad.
If the Titans and the Predators are still as far away from a championship 10 years from now as it seems like they are today, boy, is this going to be a depressing period of time here coming up for the Nashville sports fan.
Thank goodness. Maybe Vanderbilt's going to win some natties. That'll fill the void. Chip from Mount Juliet says, for a baseball team here, use a name for here. Sounds great name, but make it unique like the Ravens did. That was a team we didn't mention earlier. We were talking about teams that changed and teams that didn't. The Baltimore Browns would have been weird. So we kind of knew that was going to have to change when Art Modell moved that franchise.
Got alliteration to it.
Baltimore Browns, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. First of all, just when did, like, I guess I need to read up on this, but, like, these names, Socks with an X, it's so dumb.
I have no idea the history behind that.
Yeah. The Cincinnati Reds used to be the Cincinnati Redlegs, But, I mean, there's the tradition of baseball, so I kind of, that is an old.
I mean, I think if they came here, they would keep the name.
Think so?
Well, it used to be the White Stockings, apparently.
Yeah.
And then they said, no, let's make it Socks. Oh, okay, SOCKS. No, Socks, but with an X. Oh, okay. Sure.
I mean, the franchise was established in 1894. They've been in Chicago since 1900.
Where were they established?
You're asking me questions I don't know the answer to
I just figured since you knew the 1894 that you might know from where.
I'm just looking at the Wikipedia. They were established in 1894. And now I'm looking at a more reliable source than
the
Wikipedia.
The team began as the Sioux City Cornhuskers.
There you go.
And then St. Paul Saints. And then Chicago White Stockings.
Sioux City, South Dakota, huh? No, that's Sioux Falls.
It says Sioux City Cornhuskers.
Where is Sioux City? I know Sioux Falls is in South Dakota. We are going down some great rabbit holes.
Sioux City's in Iowa.
Sioux City, Iowa. That's right. I knew that. Okay. So they started in Iowa. So this is like the build it and they will come team
per the,
that comes
you know,
to Nashville eventually.
Google AI overview without a quick search through all the links.
Interesting.
Their winningest manager in team history is Jimmy Dykes, who I assume is not the college basketball analyst.
Yeah, I would think not. La Russa had a good run there.
Jimmy Dykes was born in 1896, so not the same guy.
I think he's based on the guy who said there's no crying in baseball in a league of their own.
I believe you may be correct.
I may be right.
Hey.
So, yeah, Tony La Russa had a good run there. They've had some very hateable teams, very punchable faces, the Chicago White Sox.
Okay, I guess they were originally a minor league team, and then they were purchased by Charles Comiskey. And relocated to St. Paul, and then moved to Chicago in 1900.
There you go.
The famously cheap Charles Comiskey, who was so cheap and screwed his players over so much that a bunch of them bet against themselves in a World Series in 1919. That's kind of a big moment in baseball history.
When they come here, could Ozzie Guillen be the manager again?
That would be freaking amazing. That guy, I think he still does TV. I think he still does like pre and post games.
Dangerous.
Like that. Oh, it is. Oh, he says crazy stuff. It's fantastic. I'm absolutely.
I mean,
here
he's
for
only 61. He could,
Sure.
10 years from now, getting a couple years to launch this thing here in Nashville.
My guy Jimmy Leland was managing the Tigers at 97 years old, smoking darts. Sparky Anderson was only 50, but he looked 97 years old.
I tell
old.
You though, like the more you think about it, I mean, you brought up AJ Pierzynski earlier.
Oh.
But like the AJ
an all-time punchable face.
If you really wanted to hate the White Sox, number one, he would be where you started. But back in those days, the Ozzie Guillen part of it too, like he could really.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought he was hilarious growing up
me
at the time,
too.
But
yes.
I could see where somebody if you really hated the White Sox, you would really hate Ozzie Guillen.
He's one of those things, like when he was managing and also like they were good and everything, pure hatred. But now that, like, you do have to appreciate the guy. I mean, he's a lot of fun.
615-737-1025, our phone number. What do you make of the idea of the Chicago White Sox eventually moving to Nashville? We'll take your thoughts on that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. The Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend. And 1025 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race to 615-737-1025 to be entered for a chance to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Ian Safar, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service.
Good point by a few people in Texas, including Dennis. Dennis says, I'm ready to see the Pope Mobile rolling down Broadway on the way to a Nashville Sox game. Yeah, that's baby!
True. That is true.
And like I told somebody, it's good. I need to go to confession, so this works out perfectly. Just go right to the Pope. Pope give confession?
You have to ask him.
He comes here pretty busy.
Go over the what section's he in at the game?
I mean, if I buy him a Miller Lite, you know.
Matthew says, if Justin Ishbia is anything like his brother, who's run the Suns into the ground, then you don't want him bringing the White Sox here.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. We have
a pretty comparable example going on right here in our town right now. You know, there's Jimmy Haslam with the Browns. There's Bill Haslam with the Predators. Just because Jimmy Haslam is one way with the Browns doesn't necessarily mean that that's how Bill Haslam will be with the Predators.
And to be fair on that, when Jimmy Haslam with the Browns, that's a pretty long track record of some massive mistakes. You know, early on, obviously, the construction of that team has not worked out. I mean, Bradley Beal was in place before Matt Ishbia got there, right? Like, yep. They were a bleep show. What he's done hasn't worked. We'll see if it does now. I mean, what has he done to run them into the ground? He hasn't fixed them. There's no argument here, but it's been, what, 2 years, 3 years? Like, it just – the team that they had, which we thought was going to be a wagon for a while, has not been. And I don't think there's too much that's specifically on him, but we'll see.
He took over as the owner of the Suns on February 7th, 2023.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you're talking just over 2 years.
I mean, obviously, Bradley Beal is not at all what – and he was signed to the big deal before he got there, right, I think. Right? Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. I know that he did, like, the thing – he's done a couple of things with, like, their TV deal and with, like, he did the cheap concessions thing, which people liked. But, yeah, you got to win. So, but I'd wait and see. I mean, they've got a – well – I mean, their head coach now is a kid, in my mind. He's a great kid who I covered when he was a young kid out of college being Izzo's video guy, and he's Jordan Ott, who's the head coach, which blows my mind. It makes me feel extremely old. Great kid. I don't know if he's going to be a good NBA coach. We'll see.
One texter says, some poor Blackhawks.
I call people kids who are under 40.
Yeah. Some poor Blackhawks / White Sox fan is seething at the possibility of having to root for a Nashville-based team.
Ooh, that's actually a nice, tasty thought, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's good stuff.
I love it, man. I love it.
I mean, I'm interested to see how their stadium part of it comes in. I mean, you brought up the stadium the White Sox are currently is. It's a dump. So do they ever get – when's the lease on that expire? 2029?
I think that's right.
When do they get a new stadium deal done at that point? Is there any appetite towards that in Chicago? And does – you know, again, we're 4 years out from this now, so I don't think it's like overly top of mind for a lot of those people. But as you get closer to it and the stadium starts to come up and you start to look and say, all right, there needs to be a solution here one way or the other. What's the appetite look like for a new stadium in Chicago at that point?
Yeah, it's – look, I've – My guy John Greenberg, who I work with, The Athletic, I cited him earlier, and he has expressed skepticism about this whole Nashville idea. It makes sense. One of them, one point he brought up is that Justin is building this massive, you know, home in Chicago, things like that. But you know, it's like, do they get competitive again? The thing is, like, the money does follow the product.
Yep.
And so I hope not. just because I like when they suck, you know?
I mean, if you're really rooting for Nashville to get the White Sox, root for them to just be absolute cheeks over the next few years.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes it less likely that you're going to have momentum. And again, right now it does not appear that there's a lot of momentum anyway for public funded stadiums up there. And frankly, good for them. And I'd like to see less of that in the world in general.
Well, and then there becomes the question of, if this all comes together, where in the world's a stadium going around here, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we've thrown out, you know, a ton of different possibilities today early in the show about what that could look like, but where exactly would it be going here? So, again, I understand if you're listening to this and you're thinking, man, Major League Baseball to Nashville, it sure feels like we've talked about that a lot with not much happening. And I get it because I'm kind of the same way. And really, specifically with the expansion group, it's reached the point with me where I'm like, I don't even really want to hear much about it until you tell me who's paying for it. Like, right. Until you get the owner that has the big pockets that pays for it, until that's solved, I don't really think we're dealing in the world of realism with that. So that's where I am on that. This, not involving expansion, would be an option that, you know, we once talked about with the Rays, and I guess it looks like they figured things out down there. But now maybe the White Sox are the most realistic option to come here.
Yeah, and something else could materialize, and this could happen way faster.
Sure.
So we'll see. But I'm going to – I'll add to my prediction. Not only will they come here, the stadium will be in Antioch.
Okay.
So there you go.
You're doubling down.
Yep.
You heard it here. 100% guaranteed the White Sox are coming here from Joe Rex Road, and he knows exactly where the stadium will be.
The Antioch White Sox.
He knows that. He knows the address as well.
It's right by the Whataburger.
Hey, roll out of that stadium. Get you a nice burger on the way home.
That's right.
Hard to beat.
I'm sorry. No free ads. Yeah. I just violated it.
You did.
I don't really like it very much, though. So, I mean,
here's your ad.
I mean, In-N-Out Burger destroys Whataburger. I hope everybody can agree with me.
Hey, we're getting some.
There's another free ad. I know. See, I can't talk about In-N-Out Burger because when they weren't here, I could talk freely about In-N-Out Burger because they're amazing. But I have to stop as soon as they get to town, right?
I'm really hoping it doesn't become with them like what you've talked about with your Chick-fil-A experience, where
because
of the scarcity of them in my life, I think it's better than it actually is. We're going to find out here pretty soon.
No, it'll happen. Yeah, absolutely. That'll happen. So savor it while you can only have it every so often. But baseball will be every day for the people of Nashville, Tennessee.
And I have yet to have an In-N-Out Burger. So I've never been.
Oh, pretty good. Oh, man.
Throw those Braves hats aside. Those Cardinals hats, get rid of them. Go ahead and get in on the White Sox hats now while you can. The bandwagon's going to be large by the time they're here.
Get excited.
That's going to do it for us today on the program. Boy, did we cover a lot of ground today.
We did.
Some of it made sense. Some of it didn't, frankly.
But Sowed sucks.
At least we established that at the end of it. That's going to do it for us today. The Chase and Big Joe Show with Big Joe and Nick Frazier is coming up next. Everybody have a safe rest of your Tuesday. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.